Lepo pozdravljeno, drago poslušalstvo Radio Študent, v tokratni ediciji oddaj EP Interaktivno, EP v pogled. Vaša omiljena novinarska ekipa iz aktualno-politične redakcije se je v začetku maja odpravila v Strasbourg na zadnje plenarno zasedanje tokratne zasedbe Evropskega parlamenta in seveda prinesla nazaj obilico zvočnih posnetkov, ter tudi ekskluzivni izjavi predsednika Evropske komisije Josea Manuela Barroza in predsednika Evropskega parlamenta Hansa Gerta Pöteringa. Ker se Pöttering po volitvah v Evropski parlament poslavlja od svoje funkcije po 2 letih in pol, je imel seveda poslovilni govor, v katerem hvali pomen parlamenta in njegove dosežke in tako naprej. Mi si bomo pa zdaj poslušali del govora s prevodom seveda. Mnenje o relevantnosti le tega pa si ustvarite sami. Po tem posnetku seveda sledijo še drugi, bolj iskreni in posledično bolj zanimivi govori.
Liebe Liebe Kolleginnen und Kollegen.
Dragi kolegi in kolegice, čez nekaj tednov med 4. in 7. junijem bodo državljani in državljanke Evropske unije volili nov Evropski parlament. Prvič bo 375 milijonov ljudi iz vseh 27 držav članic skupaj sodelovalo na evropskih volitvah. Za številne izmed vas je to zadnji strasburški teden. Ravno tako je to zame zadnji teden, ko predsedujem plenarnemu zasedanju. Vsi vemo, da demokracija črpa svojo moč tudi iz stalnih sprememb in to velja za vsakogar izmed nas. Skupaj imamo za sabo kar dolgo pot, in iz te poti bo išla Evropa za prihodnost in skupaj smo dosegli zelo veliko. Bili smo uspešni in to ne samo v zadnjem obdobju, ko sem predsedoval jaz, ampak tudi v času predsedstva mojega predhodnika Josepa Borela Fontelesa. Tisto, kar smo dosegli v zadnjih 5 letih, je dosežek nas vseh. Vsem vam se želim zahvaliti za vaš angažma, za vašo strast, za skupno evropsko idejo in zato se vam zahvaljujem iz vsega srca. Kot Evropski parlament smo neposredno izvoljeni predstavniki državljanov in državljank Evropske unije. Mi vsi, dragi kolegi in kolegice, utelešamo raznolikost naše evropske celine in preko svojih političnih družin odražamo raznolikost mnenj in stališč v Evropi. Še več, pred nekaj dnevi smo praznovali 5. obletnico zgodovinske širitve Evropske unije, ki je prinesla ponovno združitev naše celine na podlagi skupnih vrednot. V svoji sreči smo poenoteni, kot je bilo tako lepo zapisano že v berlinski izjavi z 25. marca 2007. Uspešna pridružitev poslancev ki iz držav članic, ki so pristopile leta 2004 in 2007 ter prilagoditev našega parlamentarnega dela na veliko večji Evropski parlament, to nedvomno šteje med najpomembnejše uspehe tega zakonodajnega obdobja. Mi, vseh 785 poslancev, smo se naučili prilagajati se drug drugemu, se učiti drug kot drugega in na ta način bolje skupaj delati in sodelovati. Evropski parlament je v tem času pridobil številne izkušnje, pridobil je na moči in na kulturnem bogatstvu. Dragi kolegi in kolegice, kmalu bodo delo Evropskega parlamenta oživili novi poslanci. Pridružili se bodo tistim, ki boste junija ponovno izvoljeni. In vsem nam tudi v prihodnje želim spoštovanje, eden od drugega, ki nas povezuje in ki preusega vse politične in nacionalne meje. V svojem delu v zadnjih letih me je vodil prav ta duh parlamentarnega dela in moram se zahvaliti za veliko podpore, spodbude in tudi za marsikakšen nasvet. Predsednik je odgovoren za upoštevanje vseh pravil Evropskega parlamenta in mora zagotavljati, da so ta pravila enaka za vse člane, da se enako uporabljajo in da se ohranja tudi dostojanstvo našega parlamenta. In zato sem si prizadeval. In tistim, ki prihajajo v parlament, želim povedati, da smo prepričljivi samo, če ohranjamo dostojanstvo našega parlamenta in če to dostojanstvo vedno ščitimo na podlagi skupnega prava. Kolegi in kolegice, zelo malo sklepov v Evropski uniji se dan danes sprejme brez soglasja in sodelovanja Evropskega parlamenta. Vedno bolj Evropski parlament postaja ključno mesto iskanja političnih kompromisov na evropski ravni. To se je v zadnjih letih pokazalo na primer pri direktivi o storitvah in pri direktivi o kemikalijah REACH. Tudi pri finančni perspektivi za obdobje 2007 do 2013 je bila vloga Evropskega parlamenta ključna. Evropski parlament je uspel doseči, da je za programe za spodbujanje mlade generacije, kot je na primer Erasmus, na voljo dovolj finančnih sredstev. Mi, dragi kolegi in kolegice, smo uvrstili tudi boj proti podnebnim spremembam na vrh svojega dnevnega reda. To, da smo prišli do pozitivnega rezultata, je ključno tudi za Evropsko unijo v nadaljnjih pogajanjih. In danes v svojih prizadevanjih nismo več sami. Nova ameriška vlada s predsednikom Barackom Obamo tudi namerava podpreti številne naše predloge. Zdaj je naša naloga, da v svetu pridobimo tudi druge partnerje v boju proti podnebnim spremembam. In mi smo tisti, ki smo prevzeli tukaj vodilno vlogo in na to smo lahko ponosni, dragi kolegi in kolegice. Ravno tako je do reforme ureditve finančnih trgov, ki poteka, v številnih vidikih prišlo ravno na pobudo Evropskega parlamenta. Že od leta 2002 si je parlament zauzemal za boljši nadzor in regulacijo finančnih trgov. Vse zakonodajne postopke za boljši nadzor bank in financ ter tudi za ureditev hedge skladov in plač menedžerjev je potrebno kar najhitreje zaključiti. S svojimi sklepi je Evropski parlament podal številne pomembne signale, ampak veliko dela je še pred nami in novo izvoljeni Evropski parlament bo moral s tem delom odločno nadaljevati, zato da bo na podlagi socialnega tržnega gospodarstva, kot je opredeljeno v Lizbonski pogodbi, našel pot iz krize in zagotovil konkurenčnost evropskega gospodarstva v okviru globalizacije. Dragi kolegi in kolegice, velika večina Evropskega parlamenta samega sebe obravnava kot gonilo evropskega procesa združevanja. V zadnjih dveh letih in pol smo ponovno oživili razpravo o institucionalni reformi in pospešili proces, ki je pripeljal do sklenitve reformne pogodbe iz Lizbone. Uspelo nam je, da so temeljna načela, ki jih ves čas zagovarjamo, vključena tudi v Lizbonsko pogodbo. Ta pogodba vsebuje osrednjo reformo, s katerimi bodo evropske institucije postale bolj demokratične, bolj transparentne in bolj učinkovite. Skupaj moramo narediti vse, kar je v naši moči, zato da bo pogodba iz Lizbone v začetku prihodnjega leta lahko stopila v veljavo. In danes upamo na pozitiven rezultat v Češkem senatu v Pragi. Dragi kolegi in kolegice, v teh tednih praznujemo 30. obletnico Evropskega parlamenta kot neposredno izvoljene demokratične institucije Evropske unije. In danes je ta Evropski parlament v središču Evropske parlamentarne demokracije, o kakršni smo leta 1979 lahko le sanjali. Skupaj smo spodbujali parlamentarno demokracijo v Evropski uniji in tudi preko njenih meja. Evropski parlament in nacionalni parlamenti so danes partnerji. Naše delo se dopolnjuje. Sodelovanje z nacionalnimi parlamenti smo poglobili in organiziramo redna srečanja, zato da lahko skupaj obravnavamo aktualna vprašanja. Ravno tako smo si ves čas prizadevali tudi za razvoj odnosov s parlamenti tretjih držav. Danes je Evropski parlament cenjen partner v svetu in zagovornik človekovih pravic in demokracije in tako mora ostati tudi v prihodnje.
Po nagovoru predsednika parlamenta so prišli do besede tudi poslanci. Večina je Peteringa hvalila, bilo pa je tudi neki kritik. Poslušimo eno od Nigela Farage iz skupine Neodvisnosti / demokracije, ki ga nekateri poslanci obtožujejo celo huliganstva.
President Pottering, the Independence and Democracy Group has tried to be helpful, positive and constructive right through this parliamentary term. Yes, because we've been providing the voice of opposition. And in a democracy, opposition is essential. It is vital. But sadly, as President Vaclav Klaus pointed out when he came here, you don't actually think there should be any alternative view. And as a result of that, your presidency has been marked by your deeply prejudicial manner in the way in which you've treated members of this House that have stood up and opposed the Constitution / Lisbon Treaty. And the defining moment for me in this House was we had the French say no, we had the Dutch say no, and then we had the Irish say no, and this Parliament has willfully carried on ignoring the wishes of the people. You just don't get it, do you? No means no. And it's truly incredible that 499 members of this House voted to ignore the Irish no vote and to continue with the treaty. What kind of a parliament is this? If you believed in democracy, you would not just bulldoze aside those three referendum results. And worse still, you are now so fearful of public opinion, you know that you're losing the argument, that you've sunk to abuse. I've had Mr. Watson saying that I behaved like an English football hooligan, when all I did was to gently point out that Commissioner Barrow is a convicted embezzler. Gary Titley said that I was a paranoid reactionary, living on the fringes of society. Well, I mean, he may have a point, I don't know. But Denny Cohn-Bendit, that great champion of free speech, said that opponents of the treaty were mentally ill. And Martin Schulz, the leader of the socialists, saying after one of the no votes, we must not bow to populism, and that the no votes open the door to fascism. Well, I hope in the next 4 weeks in this campaign, the voters of Europe can see the real face of this project. You are nationalistic, you are bullying, you are threatening, you are anti-democratic, you're a complete shower.
That you can make such a speech shows that this is a free and democratic European Parliament.
Svoje je dodal tudi Daniel Hanan kot samostojni poslanec.
Mr. President, some colleagues may find this hard to believe, but I'm going to miss you. In all the time I've known you, first as leader of the Christian Democrats and then as president of this parliament, you've been a model of dignity, restraint and courtesy. You're an Anglophile as well as a Europhile, and you represent all that's best in the integrationist tradition. You'll be very relieved, no doubt, to hear that I can't recall ever having agreed with you. But in the career that we've both chosen, we know that ideological commitment is a rare commodity, and we value it even when we find it in an opponent. You'll remember how we clashed over your interpretation of this House's rules of procedure. Those of us who wanted referendums on the Constitution or treaty had made our point in peaceable explanations of votes. Our right to do so was set out unequivocally in the rules of procedure. You chose arbitrarily to disapply those rules. You didn't seek to change them, which would have required a certain amount of time. You simply disregarded them. Now, this is not the time to have that argument all over again. Instead, let me say this. The President of this chamber is meant to embody the entire House, including those who espouse minority views, and when you treat us differently, you open the door to despotism. For example, virtually every month there are demonstrations here about something or other, they're tolerated, but when we held up placards with the one word, referendum, you sent in the ushers to snatch away our banners, and several of us were later fined. Now, I can understand why the word referendum causes so much disquiet in this chamber. The electorates of three nations had rejected your constitutional model. It made you feel vulnerable, and that made you tetchy. And since you could hardly attack the voters directly, you took out all your frustration on us, the visible Eurosceptic minority in this chamber. Colleagues, I don't expect to change your minds about the desirability of centralising power in Brussels. But from your own point of view, I would urge you to be a bit more even-handed in your dealings with those of us who are the minority. If only you could conquer your reflexive dislike for us, you might find that it would bolster your own democratic credentials. All organisations need their critics. Your insistence that the EU is an absolute good and that any criticism of it is either dishonest or xenophobic has done you no favours, because without critical scrutiny, the Brussels institutions become bloated, self-serving and corrupt. My friends, I hope that there will be many more of us souverainists here in July. For the first time in 50 years, this Parliament will have something in the character of an official opposition. It will be up to your successor, Hans Gert, how to deal with that opposition. But I hope he will live up to the value of tolerance which this chamber keeps claiming to espouse.
Yeah. Okay, nehmen wir das mal so zur Kenntnis.
Poslušajmo še odziv Grahama Watsona iz skupine Zavezništva liberalcev in demokratov za Evropo.
Your words today were typical of your time as president. Our groups may not always agree, but during your mandate you have proven an honest, fair and unifying figure. One whose modesty masks your many achievements. You were elected on the basis of a worthy pledge to engage our house in intercultural dialogue. But your record reaches further than that. On members' allowances, you concluded the vital work started by Pat Cox. On parliamentary procedures, you oversaw the reforms that many of us have long called for. And through initiatives like Europarl TV, you've supported modern methods of communicating with our citizens. That is a record to be proud of and a legacy on which your successors should build. Hans Gert, I hope you will write about your experiences and impressions. They will be too interesting to be left in the cold and powerful hands of oblivion. And moreover, as the poet Emerson taught us, there is no such thing as history, only biography. This Parliament has become more powerful over the years. It will be more powerful still under the Lisbon Treaty, if and when it is eventually ratified. It will be interesting to see what plans future presidents will bring to expand on the role that you have played, projecting the common values and principles that we hold dear. But today, I think I can speak for many when I say that you have earned our respect and affection. Like you, President, this is my last plenary speech in my current role. Having led my group since 2002, I have a touch of what we call in English the seven-year itch. But although I won't sit in this seat again, I know you are aware that I am keen to try sitting where you are. President, on behalf of my group, I thank you. I thank the session services and the interpreters and all of the staff who have contributed to the very fine job you have done as President of our House.
Thank you so much, Graham Watson.
Zdaj pa bomo poslušali še dele pozitivnih nagovorov nekaterih poslancev in njihove hvale predsednika. Teh sploh nismo prevajali, saj so sladke besede v vseh jezikih razumljive. Najprej bomo slišali nagovor oziroma zahvalo predsedniku Cristiane Muscardini iz skupine Združenja za Evropo narodov.
Presidente, dopo 20 anni che ho trascorso in questo Parlamento, mi sento in dovere di ringraziare con lei, che idealmente li rappresenta in quest'Aula, i milioni di cittadini europei che quotidianamente, lavorando e rispettando i principi della solidarietà, della giustizia e delle radici del nostro passato, contribuiscono allo sviluppo di una società più rispettosa dei diritti e più consapevoli dei propri doveri. Grazie.
Grazie molto, Cristiana Muscardini.
Sledi Francis Woods iz Konfederalne skupine Evropske združene levice, Zelene nordijske levice.
J'apprécie hautement votre éthique personnelle qui vous a permis de reconnaître, du moins je le crois, qu'on peut être tout à la fois communiste, démocrate, européen et humaniste. Je vous en remercie.
Herzlichen Dank, Francis Wirth.
Jožef Daul iz skupine Evropske ljudske stranke in Evropskih demokratov.
Pour tout cela, simplement merci, monsieur le président.
Merci cordialement, Jožef Daul.
Poslušajmo še zahvalo Martina Schulze iz skupine Socialdemokratov.
Das hat sie qualifiziert als einen guten Präsidenten des Europäischen Parlaments und als ein solcher werden sie in Erinnerung bleiben. Vielen Dank.
Herzlichen Dank, Martin Schulz.
Kot zadnja poslanka pa še Monika Frassoni iz skupine Zelenih Evropske svobodne zveze.
La lunga battaglia per la democrazia europea forte, rispettata, pluralista e simpatica non è finita e almeno su questo l'avremo sempre al nostro fianco. Grazie presidente.
Grazie Monika Frassoni für die Europäische Linke.
Na nekem manj formalnem druženju poslancev iz Evropske ljudske stranke, ki se je zgodilo ob 5. obletnici širitve Evropske unije in tudi ob koncu tega mandata, na katerega so sicer vabili z obljubami o koktejlih, pa teh ni bilo, so veliko govorili o totalitarističnih režimih vzhodne Evrope, tam pa smo tudi dobili izjavo predsednika Evropske komisije Josea Manuela Barroza in ga vprašali, ali res misli, da je bilo tako grozno v vzhodnih režimih oziroma natančne v bivši Jugoslaviji.
No, I agree that before in many of the Eastern, Central Eastern European countries there was not a democracy. There was only one party, there was not freedom of expression. And that after the transition to democracy, now we are much stronger. And without that we could not have a stronger European Union because now we can unite countries that were before divided by these different political regimes.
But regarding the human rights issue?
Human rights, of course, today we are much stronger. Before there was no human rights in many of our, respect of human rights in many of our countries. When you think that one who was expressing opinions against the government would go to jail, this was a violation of human rights. And in European Union, to be member of the European Union, the basic human rights have, of course, to be respected.
Just to finish, what's your opinion about the Slovenian blockade of Croatia's accession to the EU?
I mean, I hope that matter will be settled. There'll be discussions, and we are asking both Slovenia and Croatia to make an effort because those are countries, they are both European countries, and I think it is for the good of all the European Union, including of the good of Slovenia, to have Croatia as a member of the European Union.
Zahaklali smo tudi predsednika parlamenta v odhodu Peteringa in ga vprašali, ali ne misli, da bi države v sedanji kapitalistični krizi lahko uporabile tudi ekonomske metode s socialističnim predznakom.
We are not in favor of capitalism. We are in favor of social market economy. And that means we believe that the market as such is a good thing, but the market always has to serve a purpose, and the market has to serve the people. And so what we do now has to be done on the basis of social market economy. And we need now a better controlling system as far as the banks are concerned, and we need more transparency in the banking and financial system in Europe and in the world.
But some people are saying that these interventions in the United States with the banks and so on, these are the socialist movement in some sense.
No, socialism and communism was totally different. Everything was organized and decided by the Communist Party. We have now freely elected parliaments, and market needs order, but not over-regulation. So the social market economy is a good basis for giving the right answers to the challenges we are facing.
Since we are coming from Slovenia, just one short question. What is the thing you are least pleased with what Slovenia has done in the last 5 years regarding?
No, I have only good commemorations as far as Slovenia is concerned, and my wish is that there is soon a solution between Slovenia and Croatia so that Croatia can be part of the European Union as well.
Poročanje iz Europarlamenta pa seveda ne bi bilo popolno brez glasu Lojzeta Peterleta, ki je na istem druženju dejal tole nebulozo o nujnosti njihove stranke za obstoj Evropske unije.
Thank you for sharing the same values, principles and responsibility for the future of Europe. There is no Europe without the great spirit, and there is no European Union without strong and victorious European People's Party. And we need more than Lisbon Treaty. We really need strong European spirit.
Res zareže v ušesa. Pa smo se privlekli do konca še ene oddaje EP Interaktivno, EP v pogled, ki sta jo pripravila Urh in Boris, seveda ob podpori Igorja in Tadeja, s katerimi smo bili skupaj v Štrasburu v začetku maja letos. Lep dan še naprej na frekvenci 89,3.